You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 30. I am Dan Hammond. On this week's show, we have an interview with art director Johnny Holiva.
They're the masters of disguise, they're not to be outdone. The phaser they have pointed at you isn't set on stun. Section 31.
Well, as you know, in the past, we've been absconding with continuing committee members, and this week we have Johnny Holiva here, the art director. Welcome in.
Thanks for having me. Though I see I only have one interrogator this week.
Yeah, well, I was told that you're not a difficult subject.
All right, fair enough.
A lot of us feel that on our own, we are, I want to say, Photoshop masters, and we can do all kinds of stuff by ourselves. But you actually have training in this kind of thing, right?
I do. Actually went to a university to study graphic design, and it's what I do for a living. I actually design for a brewery here in San Diego.
So this is kind of like work then for you?
Well, it's actually, as crazy as it might sound, it's always been, ever since I've collected Star Trek cards, Star Wars, it was always in the back of my mind that this would be a dream design gig, to actually design cards for the game that I really love to play. So to answer your question, no, it's not. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing it, and I'd love to even do more. It's really fun, and I think you'd find the other designer, Seth Claybrook. He does a lot of the One-E stuff. I've communicated to him via email, and he also enjoys it just as much. Seth is working on everything from the Identity Crisis expansion to expansion icons, as well as the box toppers. And I've been privy to some of Seth's behind-the-scenes 1E designs that haven't been released yet. And all I can say is 1E Players 2009 is going to be just an amazing year for you. There's a lot in store. I don't even know all the details, except that there's some really cool stuff coming up.
Well, that sounds fantastic. The difference between a 1E card and a 2E card is there was a major design change artistically. What did you think about going from the very basic, old school kind of look to this new kind of detailed?
Well, it's a good question because I've been with the game since 1E, and I really came to love the look of 1E cards. In hindsight, it wasn't anything more dramatic than a logo and a color, really. As I've been able to dive into the actual templates of the cards, it doesn't get much more complicated than that. But I really think it speaks to the designers who came up with the imagery for those cards, as well as simply the coloring. Those cards, to me, still look great. Now, when 2E came along, at first, I being a designer, I really appreciated the detail that went into each template, but it, much like the gameplay with 2E, it took me a little while to get used to it. As I sit here, end of 2008, I've just come to really appreciate all the look of 2E. I think a lot more effort went into it, and I prefer 2E at this point, the look of the cards.
All right. Well, Brad had mentioned in our previous conversation and in a lot of places that there will be no other affiliations in 2E. But putting that aside, if another affiliation were to show up, like maybe one of the Delta Quadrant affiliations or something like that, what would you look at if you were tasked with coming up with something?
Oh, wow. Well, I think that would be one of the dream assignments if ever given by the continuing committee. Immediately comes to mind the Vidians, taking some of the details, the kind of the gory look of those that affiliation, and bringing it to a 2E template would be a blast. There was a 2E Vulcan template that was floating around for a project that Charlie worked on that I thought was pretty sharp. I think no matter what the affiliation, the details is where I just have the most interest in the cards and in the look. Everything from the, like on the Ferengi, the bar of latinum in the background, that sort of work, that research, you know, as a Trekkie alone, that would be really enjoyable.
One of the things that they did in Lord of the Rings later in the set was to create alternate templates for some of the affiliations. So some of the promo cards came on this alternate border. Some of them were really sharp. The Nazgul and the Moria that they did for the Balrog and things like that. Did you ever consider pitching something like that so we can have like a kind of an alternate border set or just something different throw out there?
Well, you know, I never played Lord of the Rings. So what you're talking about is I'm vaguely familiar. I just remember from the days of when I go to Decipher.com and see, the front page Lord of the Rings stuff. That being said, what you're talking about sounds like a really cool idea to take, whether they be personnel specific icons or just alternate takes on what a Starfleet card should look like. That'd be a dream assignment. It's also a very new idea in the Star Trek world, one that has not crossed my email inbox quite yet.
That'd be fun to take a couple of like the Treachery Bajorans and try to come up with some kind of Paw Wraith alternate background.
Oh, absolutely. Just as there's almost endless possibilities with the different characters when it comes to gameplay, I think there's almost as many endless possibilities when it comes to the design.
You've been doing the pack art for the three virtual sets, is that right?
Yes, correct.
So what was the inspiration for continuing the pack art trend, even though, you know, we're not actually cracking them open?
Well, you know, the pack art really helps define the mood, the flavor, you know, what you're going to get out of the cards, whether it be a color scheme, a few stars, the star power of the expansion. I think it's just, it ends up being an essential element to an expansion. I remember back in the days when Decipher was releasing the expansions, and whether it be as a designer or just as a card player, I always really enjoyed the unveiling of the pack art. It was something I looked forward to, and not just because of the flavor that you get from the pack, the design. I really kind of looked forward to trying to decipher what was going on. Were those characters going to be personnel? Were they going to be events? As we all try, look forward to it, spoilers. It was a very visual way to get some spoilers about the upcoming expansion.
I think the same could be said for the boxes. I remember, particularly in Star Wars back in the day, taking a look at the boxes and trying to figure out what was going to be, in the packs before we were cracking them open, like Hoth and things like that. There's a lot of just random things.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you bring up Star Wars and that the look of Star Wars is just so distinct. How they would do the kind of, they take the image that was straight off the card, they'd make it black and white, and then they'd find a color that would fit with the expansion. Hoth being white, Bespin was, or Cloud City, I think as they ended up calling it, was kind of a maroon, orangish color. Anyways, it was such an iconic way to come up with the look of those expansions. Star Trek went a different route, much more visual accuracy to the actual picture on the card. But it was always really cool to see those the box with the actual pictures of the cards on there. I remember the box art for These Are the Voyages, and they had a Spock on there that they hadn't spoiled yet. I remember trying to zoom in as close as I could to try to figure out his stats and his game text. I think you could almost apply that to every expansion that came out. I was always trying to, zoom in and figure out exactly what was going on. Really one more enjoyable parts of the spoiler reveals for me.
So with boxes and packs and even individual cards, you probably see things on the cards that us normal folk, just the players who aren't graphic designers see. What do you look at? What jumps out at you from the cards that we were playing with?
One of the things that I see is, sometimes mistakes. you'd be surprised. There are some cards that should have drop shadows in certain places that don't. I don't know if Brad would necessarily agree on that.
Interesting.
But that is something that on the negative side that I notice. But then on the positive side, a lot of the times what I can notice are just say like on the Cardassian card. It doesn't take a genius, but trying to figure out, well, what's the background there? Is it the plating of their armor, or where does the side icon come from on a Bajoran card? Those sorts of things I do notice. And I really get a kick out of, I guess, trying to solve those little mysteries. As a designer of the cards now, really in particular, I having being able to see the templates, what lies beneath the type, what I've tried to do is try to figure out, okay, where did that exactly come from, that icon, that pattern, that the look? And to be honest, a lot of the imagery stumps me. You know, I actually think the DS9 icon is from the opening of the show when they zoom. I think they zoom in at the opening, and you know that kind of detail work. I love the fact that those little icons. So much is communicated by those tiny little icons. That's really cool.
You know, I've tried to make an icon or two, and to be able to make them so distinctive and yet so small. They did a fantastic job on that, I have to say.
Oh, they really did. And I think one of the things that one of the more recent challenges that was handed to me from the continuing committee was to come up with expansion icons for the 2E sets. Of course, in 1E, most of the sets had expansion icons. And because Charlie, in particular, wanted to have some visual way to differentiate the expansions, I came up with some 2E icons that appear on the front page of the Continuing Committee website. Some are more successful than others, but it was a great challenge and something I really enjoyed.
Did you just pick something kind of iconic from each set and use that?
Well, what I ended up doing was I tried to find either a real star power type card, or when it came to personnel, or an iconic image. Just kind of looking at some of the random ones here, like for example, What You Leave Behind, the last actual expansion from Decipher, physical expansion. There was a really distinct image on these box art of the Enterprise A going off into the sunset from the undiscovered country. And it was just so striking to me on the actual packaging that even though there wasn't a card of that, it deserved to be the icon for the set. All the way down to the Fractured Time expansion, which for my money featured one of the more powerful cards to ever come out, which was Tragic Turn. And so if you zoom in on that little expansion icon, you'll find that it's two of Reva's chorus being zapped and disintegrated. So those icons were a lot of fun to work on.
One of the cards that you provided the image for or pulled an image for was the Ross card that was recently spoiled.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of interesting cards in Raise the Stakes. I can't wait for this expansion to hit. I think people will be really surprised by the coolness of some of the cards. Anyways, the card I'm most proud of from the upcoming Raise the Stakes is the Admiral Ross card, William Ross, temporary ally. This card has been spoiled on the boards for a little bit of a while, but when it comes to the actual imagery, you know, Admiral Ross, is just a character from the Deep Space Nine that I was just a huge fan of, not of the Kira or Sisko level, but as with all of the secondary characters on DS9, they just did a real nice job of developing the character. And the initial image that was there was a fine image, but just kind of a standard headshot sort of thing. I want to go back to the days when the image really was the defining moment for that character. And for me, that came from when Admiral Ross is talking to Julian Bashir, and Julian Bashir ask him some questions about being a member of Section 31. And Admiral Ross, at that point, takes off his comm badge. And at that point, you realize that Admiral Ross is not the kind of happy-go-lucky admiral that he'd really been up to that point. Kind of stern, but suddenly there was a whole new layer of complexity to the character at that point, that he wasn't exactly what you thought he was. And the reason I really like that image is because of the game text on the card. I think it syncs up so well. The fact that while he's facing a dilemma, Admiral Ross gains intelligence and treachery, just showing the complexity. And obviously he's a skill tank, but I think deservingly so from at least from DS9, the highest ranking admiral that you see on screen. And for a while there, the image that I had hoped to get on there, the one of Admiral Ross taking off the comm badge, it wasn't exactly embraced initially. And what I decided to do is a little bit of a designer privilege. I thought that what I do is get that image on the packaging. And once I designed up the packaging with the image of Admiral Ross, I figured, well, they're not going to change it now. And as of today, it is all still very much in place, the image that I wanted to get on there for Admiral Ross.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Johnny, for joining me and sharing some information about what's going on inside the Continuum Committee. And I guess you're free to go.
Well, I appreciate it. As several guests have said, not as painful as it sometimes sounds.
Once again, I have reached the limit of my intelligence. I would like to thank Matt Kirk, our director, and on behalf of him and Sir Rogue, who is absent today, we'd like to thank Warp 11. So happy holidays and expand your power in the universe. And I've got Luther Sloan and Julian Bashir sitting at Talani 3 with a couple androids. I will solve 30 points to end. Section 30.